Well, here we are again on this fine Monday afternoon, and I have the Cookeville weather guy, Mr. Michael Detweiler. Hello, yes, my friend.
Good to see you.
You too. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're blessed, aren't you?
Blessed, I am.
I'm
blessed and not distressed.
I love it. Yes. I hadn't heard that one. Blessed and not distressed.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Well, if anybody ever had anything to be distressed over, I know it would be you and your sweet wife, and we'll get into that.
Sure.
But, Mike, do you ever go by Mike? I just called you Mike.
Mike, Michael, hey, dude.
What'd your family call you?
Well, my dad's Mike, so I get called Michael. They thought it was a great idea when I was born to name me after my father. And
are you a junior?
A junior, yes. Okay. And so as you grow up and, you know, you have bank accounts in a small town, you know, they get confused. You go to the urologist and they confuse you with your father. They say, boy, you look great for somebody in your 70s. And I'm like, you got my dad's file.
Yeah. Dwight has that happen. My husband's dad was Norman.
Yes.
And he's not a junior, though. They named him Norman Dwight.
How about that?
But all the insurance will not accept his middle name.
They have that some?
Yeah. Like you were talking about going to the urologist.
Yes.
And Dwight has an appointment, and we accepted it and let it go.
Well, my wife is Catherine Sean, and so she goes by Sean. So she has that same issue. Yeah. On documents and things like that.
Yeah, you've got to have the first name.
I
suppose. But anyway, glad to have you here today. I have admired you from afar, and then I met you and admired you even more.
Well.
You used to be with Diane Black, and
yes,
that's the name's well known in this area.
Yes,
tell
absolutely.
Me exactly how that came to be.
So she had decided to run for the seat that was currently filled by Bart Gordon. Mm-hmm. Back in 2010. Representative Gordon had decided to retire. The vote on Obamacare kind of retired a bunch of people on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And he had served for 26 years, and he'd started when he was a young man. And so he said, hey, I've had enough, and was ready to walk away. And so she decided to run. We knew the Blacks for several years prior
to
that.
Right?
Yes, ma'am. A nurse for 40 plus years. And she would always be kind of paying attention to what was going on politically, whether it was local, state, national. And so some of the people at Hendersonville Hospital said, you need to run for something. So then she decides to run for the state house there in Gallatin, Hendersonville, and wins, and then runs 6 years later for the state senate and wins that one. And then in 2010, says, you know, I'd like to run for the House of Representatives. And so I jumped on board with her. I just, again, knowing her and believing in her and being a family friend, it was real simple. And she'd called my mom and said, you know, I need help up in Cookeville. I don't know a lot of folks there, because she represented Gallatin, Hendersonville. And so mom said, you know, you need to talk to my son. He's out and about in the business community and everything else. And, you know, mom and dad are retired. And so that's how we got connected up. She and I knew her, but we weren't close at the time. And then through the campaign, there were, I think in the primary, there were probably five or six other candidates, and we came out ahead in that, and then won the general election in 2010, and then ran for re-election in 2012, 2014, and 2016, you know, and had opponents, but, you know, they weren't major opponents. And so
sure.
I ended up going to work for her. We were kind of...
What was your title, Mike?
I was field representative.
Okay.
And so basically I was her when she was not in the area, but we had joked during the campaign. In fact, it was at Tennessee Tech. I knew exactly where we were when we were laughing about it. I said to her, if there's an opportunity to do something, you know, for the office when you win, you know, I'd like to be considered for that. And so when she won, she said, hey, were you serious? And I said, sure. And so it was a real honor to serve the people. I can't tell you.
You have a heart for people. Anyway.
Well, I do. I like people.
Yeah.
You know,
weather and you like people.
I do. And sometimes, you know, both can drive you crazy. So, but she was great to work for, always checking on her staff. She'd call my wife and I both on our anniversary she'd send us a birthday gift. I mean, just very down to earth, a personable mm-hmm. person.
And I had an opportunity to meet her.
Absolutely.
You brought her to the Cookeville History Museum.
That's right.
Which thrilled me to death.
Yeah, she loved
and
that.
Thrill some people who
yes,
are on the opposite side
right.
of the fence, but that's okay.
It but you know what?
She was kind.
Well,
kind.
At the end of the day, whether you voted for that person or not, they are your representative.
That's
and
right.
And so you would like to see them. You know, out and about, even though you don't
she got
agree
out and
with
about,
them,
best
she
I
did.
Can tell. Maybe it's because I had a chance to meet her yeah. and talk with her for a few minutes, but she seemed to be out and about a
yeah.
lot.
Well, anytime they were like on a where Congress was not in session, whether it was you know
she's
a week,
working.
She was out in the district, and so she would kind of get on to some of the media folks saying they were on recess. She said, "I'm not on recess. I'm out and about. You know,
which
out
is,
in my district, which
she should have been doing.
What you're supposed to do.
That's right."
So.
Exactly. So you were with her
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, not counting the campaign part of it at the beginning, but we served for 8 years. And she, you know, went from a newly elected official, not known at all, and became the budget chairman of the United States, first woman in United States history to hold that position as chairman.
What is
she
doing now?
She's enjoying life.
She
is a mother. She is a grandmother. She is a wife, and she loves doing those things. She does speak from time to time when she's asked, and she's really enjoying not having to live on a schedule every single day, and that somebody
every minute of every
right
single day.
That somebody else prepares, and you know the 12-hour days and everything else. She's you know it's nice.
I can't even imagine running for an office and getting it,
mm-hmm.
and just the constant, especially when you're running the you know here to there to mm-hmm. there to here, and I you know just everywhere. But anyway. You worked for her for 8 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And presently you are working for...
I'm working for an IT company down in McMinnville, Tennessee. The name of the company is Lightwire, and we provide services in the high-tech industry. We manage networks. We manage computers.
You need to come be my computer.
I hear you. I am the family computer guy, and now that I have this position, it's kind of grown even more. So
more family.
That's right. Everybody's like, "Hey, will you help me with this?" And so it's a great industry. It's a lot of fun. It's changing all the time.
Oh, day by day, best I can.
It is. It is. And so you have to read and absorb a lot to stay up on the latest. And so it's just a lot of fun.
Talking this afternoon with Mr. Michael Detweiler. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you were born in Indiana?
I was actually born in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, you were born in the bluegrass.
That's
state,
right.
Louisville,
that's
Kentucky.
Right.
But you lived in Indiana.
I did. I lived in, after Louisville, we moved to Lexington. Then we went to Ohio because you know dad was young and wanting to move up in the world.
Sure.
And then we ended up in Indiana, northern Indiana, but his job was in central Indiana. He had about a 65-mile one-way drive every day.
Yikes.
And you can imagine in the wintertime in Indiana that was brutal.
And I bet that's where your love of weather maybe
yes,
started
absolutely
or continued.
Standing out in the dark, waiting for the bus while it was snowing heavily. It's a vivid memory in my mind, seeing the headlights on the bus.
I depend on what you say.
Well,
I mean, you're
you.
The gospel.
Well, thank you. It's,
when it comes to local weather, and there were actually little drops of something called rain, I think it was, coming down as I was on my way to the studio.
That's great.
This afternoon. So it was just barely sprinkling a little bit.
Not enough, though,
no,
right?
No, uh-uh.
Yes.
I was just saying, talking to the good Lord, which I do when I'm in my car. I said, come on, let it come
let
on.
It,
take
well,
it away
yeah.
from Houston. Give us a little bit of it.
Let it rain, as the song says. So.
Let it rain.
Yeah.
You know, let it snow, whatever.
That's but it.
Anyway, this... this interest has been with you for
yes,
a number
ma'am.
Of years.
It has. And I would consider myself more of a weather observer. You know, there's these people who like to chase severe weather events.
Not
that's that's not my calling
no
in life.
Chasers.
No hurricane, no tornadoes. I mean, I like them, but I'm not going to go stand in the middle of them.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, it's just, so I've observed weather almost daily for 40 plus years.
You have all these instruments, a barometer and everything.
I do. Now, in the electronic age, obviously, they're all together, and it's a wireless situation. And so it's just a lot of fun. It really, I have a lot of interest in it. And then people have a lot of interest in it every day. People are talking about the weather. And so they ask is what's going on right now? Is this normal or weird or anything else? And, you know, September, October typically are our two driest months of the year. So are we drier than normal right now? The answer is yes. But let me give you a factoid. Okay. August 1st, we had already had our average annual amount of rainfall had fallen between January 1 and August 1. So, yes, we had a rainy first 7 months of the year, and now it's been dry for a month and a half or so.
That's not really unusual.
It's not. And
it
that's,
seems to be,
well,
it's been so long.
Yeah, that's because we're living in the moment. So we think that things are happening now or worse than it's ever been. But, you know, you weren't here in 1927 when it was hotter than it was the past 10 days.
The record was in other times before
any
of us were alive, or most of us anyway.
Right.
Well, we're talking to Michael Detweiler, and we're going to continue talking to him about something that he and his family have had to go through that has really shown what he's made of. I'll say that about Michael. And you folks, just hang in there with us. Listen to our sponsors. Support our sponsors. And we would appreciate it, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thanks.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, here we are back. I told you we'd be back, and we are back with Michael Detweiler, who is the Cookeville weather guy. What do you think about all of this political stuff that's out? I put you on the spot now about climate change.
Well,
you think we're really in a climate change?
It's always changing, and that's what I tell people. Of course it's changing. Now, are we causing it? Are cows that pass gas causing it? I mean, you've heard all the reasons why. It's interesting. Yesterday, I looked at the Arctic ice coverage for this time of year. It's not below normal. And so that's a good way to talk about it. I will tell you this, when we talk about people, if you took every man, woman, and child on the earth and put them in the population density of Brooklyn, okay? And I've been to New York City, and we can talk about that in a moment on a Make-A-Wish trip. But if you put them the population density of Brooklyn, every man, woman, and child on Earth could fit in the state of Texas. So think about, Texas is a large state.
Mm-hmm. You'll never get across it.
there'd be room left over in Texas. There would be empty space, but every man, woman, and child on Earth would fit in the state of Texas. 70% of the Earth is covered in water, okay? So if you think about, we'd all be in the state of Texas, every man, woman, and child. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and in the
every
way...
Every man and woman and child on the face of this earth.
Yes, ma'am. So how you can do that is you can figure out, you can easily get the population density of Brooklyn online. And then you can take, you know, how many people per square mile that is, and you just do the math. It's real simple to do.
I don't do math.
Well, there you go.
So you have enlightened me here. I don't like math, nor do I like to do math. I want to talk to you now about something. Sure. Not that that isn't serious.
Sure, folks, sure.
But I know that a few years ago, mm-hmm. you know, your middle child, was diagnosed with a brain
tumor. Yes, ma'am.
And I do know that you'd mentioned just a few minutes ago about Make-A-Wish Foundation, which we will get to, but sure. I can't think of too many things that would be any more shocking and unbelievably difficult than to have a child who has been diagnosed with any kind of tumor, really, but brain tumor is a biggie for me anyway.
Sure.
So you
deal.
And Sean, your beautiful redheaded wife,
yes.
Had to deal with this.
Yes, we did. And so how we found out when she was little, she started getting these coffee-colored spots on her body, like on her trunk and different things like that. We thought it was a birthmark. So then when our pediatrician looked at it, he said, oh, we need to send you all to a specialist to look at this. And so they determined that she had neurofibromatosis, or NF1. And so
she's really small now, right?
Yeah, she was little at that time, maybe 3. So basically the specialist said, hey, you know, it'd be better if y'all didn't go searching on the internet for, you know, what this is, because you're going to see the worst of the worst cases and it's going to really freak you out. So we took his advice and didn't do a bunch of searching. But as we learned more and more, there were some things that would come out of NF1 that, you know, she may get or she may not get. And, you know, one of them was, you know, being delayed in her learning. Another was, a possible, tumors all over her body situation. And so, she had an eye appointment. Fast forward to when she was, nine years old at Christmas time, because typically we'd get their eyes checked right at the end of the year. You know, you have that benefit with insurance.
Right.
And so anyway, we go to get her eyes checked, and Dr. Steve Richardson, a great friend of ours, gets Sean and brings her in there and says, I cannot correct the vision in one of her eyes. It's not correctable. We need to find out why. He talks to an ophthalmologist. We talk to an ophthalmologist, same person within that same day. My father-in-law's a physician here in town.
Right.
Is good friends with Dr. Richardson and Dr. Hudson, Alyssa Hudson. And so as they're talking, the recommendation is get her an MRI and get it quickly. So because there's a reason why she's having problems with one of her eyes and he can't fix it.
Did
and
she so realize that she could?
She didn't. No, ma'am.
Okay.
So we get an MRI at Premier, and there's a tumor. There's a mass in her brain, and this is, you know, 6-7 days before Christmas, and then we are referred to a pediatric neurosurgeon at Vanderbilt, and his office calls and says, you know, we've looked at this, and you don't need us, you need the oncology department. Well, you can imagine that hits you like a ton of bricks. So we go to that appointment. They look at the MRI, they talk to us, and they said, you know, basically the treatment plan is chemotherapy over 14 months, and she'll need to be scheduled for surgery to have a port put in her chest. And that's how they would, you know, put the chemotherapy in, put right. the painkillers in, et cetera, et cetera. And so, that was, you know, the
goes
week
from bad to worse.
Yeah. The week between Christmas and New Year's. And then on, January 4th, she goes in for surgery and her first chemo treatment. And of course, you know, her body immediately reacts to the chemotherapy, and it's, and plus coming out of surgery, you know, just the confluence.
And she's how old now?
She's, well, let's see. She's going to be 12, so she would have been 9 at the time. Ooh. And so.
It's a lot for a 9-year-old.
It's a lot for a 9.
Did you keep her informed?
We did. She would sit in there with these visits with the oncologist, and, you know, she would have questions, and we'd let her ask her questions. And so. So we went through 14 months of that. My wife took her down every week. And of course, at this time, she's in third grade, starting her second semester in third grade at Capshaw. And I can tell you, our school system is rock. They're rock stars. They really, worked with us in terms of, cause we originally thought she's going to have to go on that homebound program. I'm sure they call it something else now, but they said, the principal and the vice principal said, no, we'd like to keep her in school. She, you know, obviously she's going to miss Wednesdays. She may miss Thursdays because of side effects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she can come a half day Friday. Great. And so they were real flexible. And so we were very surprised. And we knew it was a great school, but then it became personal because they were in the fight.
I don't see how it couldn't have been. They were in the fight with you.
They were in the fight with us. And her teachers, her third grade teachers were amazing. I mean, she missed the second semester. She missed 30 some odd days in one semester.
But she's a special kind of young woman anyway. And I'll call her a woman. She's still a kid.
Sure.
Really. But I know she doesn't want to be.
That's right.
We just got about 3 minutes left here, Mike. And she is doing well now.
She is. She is. The 14 months of chemotherapy stopped the growth of the tumor. Tumor was on her optic nerve. The goal was to stop it from wrapping around the other optic nerve or affecting her pituitary gland. And basically, that's what the chemotherapy did. It did its job. She gets a MRI every 3 months now. And so her prognosis is good. Obviously, with going through puberty, there's a little concern that the tumor may begin to grow again. And if it did, then we'd have to decide what treatment plans. And people ask, can it be taken out? And the answer is no, because of the damage they would do getting in there. And they would only take it out if it were a life-threatening situation. And it's not. And so we're blessed. Because we've seen families, we've seen children, we've known kids who, you know, were in there with her who have passed on. And so we feel very blessed. Our child's doing great. She's in school. She's doing well. She's happy.
Smart.
Well-adjusted, smart.
And so, I know that. And when in this little remaining minutes here, you mentioned earlier about going to New York. It was the Make-A-Wish Foundation that allowed her to make
paid for the trip. Yes,
she wanted to go to the American Girl store.
She did. She did.
Dolls.
Well, and when you're sitting in there and she's getting chemotherapy treatment, and the Make-A-Wish people walk up with the brochure, we said, "No, we don't need that. We're not those people." You know, and they said, no, you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Your child's fighting a serious situation. We want to bless her. And so, you know, for those of you who support Make-A-Wish, thank you. You know, thank you. Thank you. September is a Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And certainly thank you for supporting those organizations that fight for cures for children with cancer.
I didn't know that. That's great to know.
Yes, ma'am.
I know your church has been instrumental,
they
and
have.
Your friends have all
yes,
reached
ma'am.
Out to you, and they've had
yes,
fundraisers and things like that probably are needed. You know, the chemotherapy is not something you just have laying around in your bank account.
Right. And we live in an incredible community here in Cookeville and Upper Cumberland. And
it's been a community event almost. You and,
yes,
and there are others that I know
sure.
of that have had the same support.
Yes.
So I thank you for sharing that. And
absolutely.
And you folks that are praying, folks out there, pray for MK.
Yes, please.
That's how she goes by MK.
She does.
Daughter.
Yeah, her name's Mary Catherine.
Mary Catherine.
Mary's her first name. Catherine's her middle name, but it just rolls off the tongue very well. Mary Catherine. That's what we call her. And, you know, a lot of people call her MK. And that's great.
So, that's, you know, that seems real personal there. But, Mike, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Judah.
The time is out. But I thank you so much for coming.
Ma'am.
For those of you that are praying, people lift Michael Detweiler and Sean and Mary Catherine.
Absolutely.
And you have a son.
Levi. Yeah, he's our sports guy.
Yeah.
Our left footer. So.
Oh, dear. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate it very much. And see you folks. Well, no, I don't guess I'll see you, but I will talk with you again at 5:30 next Monday. Bye now.